The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got an awesome show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we'll be doing a rebroadcast with Rabbi Shmuley Kaplan, who is the redactor of a wonderful tome known as the Illuminated Hasidic Siddur. We'll talk about the idea of praying, what's really involved with prayer. It is the portion of Tazria. We're really in the thick of Bible stuff going on over here. No story, just about tzaras, leprosy, as the case may be. We've got Hasidic music, we got Jewish music, excuse me, of all kinds. A wonderful Hasidic story, you know, one of my favorites, as a matter of fact. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. The Israeli Air Force launched an airstrike against artillery batteries and a Syrian army training camp, which helped in making bombs that have been going off near the Israel-Lebanon border. One Syrian soldier was killed. Syrian President Bashar Assad said that Israel's moves will lead to a destabilization of the area. I don't know how stable that area is to begin with. Palestinian Chairman Mahmoud Abbas met with President Obama in Washington. Abbas said that peace negotiations with Israel can continue only if Israel releases two arch terrorists and freezes building in Judea and Samaria. A PA spokesman said that Israel and the PA are very far from making any type of agreement. Secretary of State John Kerry is still hoping to sign a framework agreement by April 29th, which the two sides can use to continue talks. In other words, they have to sign an agreement to continue to negotiate. A two-year-old died when a rocket that was being put together in his house in Gaza exploded. The blast also killed his father and three other members of Hamas's military wing, the Al-Qassam Brigades. Three Arabs tried to kidnap an IDF soldier in the Jordan Valley. The soldier was standing waiting for a ride when the car pulled up. The three men jumped out of the car and tried to push the soldier into the car. The soldier escaped to a nearby olive grove. I wonder, was he carrying his gun? Why didn't he just shoot them? But I wasn't there. The PA issued tenders to allow oil drilling in Judea and Samaria. It is estimated that there is between 86 and 180 million barrels of oil in that area. This part of Judea is currently under Israeli control. Vandals desecrated a Jewish cemetery in Tatabánya, Hungary, spray-painting swastikas, anti-Semitic slurs on tombstones. Acts of anti-Semitism are on the rise in Hungary. Duh. There is a major Nazi march planned for the end of the month in Budapest. The commander of the Ofer prison was transferred to the Holot holding facility for infiltrators near the Sinai border after he mistakenly released a Palestinian prisoner who was wanted for questioning by the Israeli security agency. Oops. And finally, the first Rolls-Royce was imported to Israel. Building magnate Oded Shriki paid $258,000 for the car and another $172,000 in import tariffs. He will have to bring in a crew of mechanics from Germany to service the car every 20,000 miles, as it's the only Rolls-Royce in the country. And that's the news. Do you or someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox. Why go anywhere else when you can go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of Passover products in Michigan. One Stop Kosher carries thousands of kosher for Passover items, and over 100 Passover items are on sale now. They even have kosher for Passover pizza, hamburger buns, and cake. One Stop Kosher has the largest selection of kosher for Passover wines as well. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs. Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We are on with Rabbi Shmuel Kaplan, who is the head shliach, the chief rabbi of the state of Maryland, for helping Babish there. How are you today, Rabbi Kaplan?
Thank God. Wonderful.
Good to hear. Good to hear. Okay, with a new Siddur, a new version of the Siddur, Siddur with commentary, the Siddur illuminated by Chassidus, just published by Kahos and Sichas in English. And it's a wonderful work and commendable, and you're one of the major impetus behind it. And two thumbs up and five stars, the whole business of here. Before we get into the book itself, let's go back and give some background to the nuance of prayer, davening, tefillah, in guise of the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of the Hasidic movement. What was prayer before Hasidus? What's prayer once there is Hasidus, Rabbi Kaplan?
Well, you really have to go back to the Torah itself, because what the Baal Shem Tov did was not anything new, but rather renew the concept of tefillah, where most people think of it in terms of a shopping list. No, tefillah, to pray in legal language, means to ask for. You pray to the court, you're asking for. So you come to God and you ask for, and that is an important part of prayer, but it's not the totality of prayer. The Torah says, "Ola'ovdoi b'chol olavchem," to serve God with all of your heart. And the sages say, what kind of service do we know of that involves the heart? Because the service, when we speak about service, we mean service of the temple, we mean sacrifices and such things. And now we're talking about a service with your heart. So the Talmud says what it means, Heva'im is a tefillah. It means prayer. Prayer is a service of the heart within the heart. So the idea that prayer has an emotional aspect to it and a very profound feeling relationship with God, that comes directly out of the Torah. But during the course of time, since prayer is considered a time to make requests of God, which is extremely important as well, because if you ask God for things, it means that you are acknowledging and recognizing that God is the source of all of these blessings. So even if it's small things and petty things, one would say, well, why am I bothering God with petty little things? Oh, no, on the contrary. When you recognize that God is engaged, involved, even in the little things of life, that's far more commendable and a greater drawing of God into your life than just the big things. You know, if there is someone that you have that you share the major events of your life with, that's one thing. But the friend that you share details with is a much closer friend. So when we speak of asking God for things, which is one facet of prayer, the more we ask and the more details we ask for, the more robust our relationship with God is. However, when that becomes the totality of the focus, it is deficient, because a human being is made up of many components, and our relationship with God has to embody all of these components. We shouldn't have one-dimensional relationship. So we look to have both a relationship where God is providing us. We ask and he provides. And we look for a relationship which is an emotional relationship. We also look for an intellectual relationship. So then you have a complete and a robust relationship with God. So prayer is that central part, which really is the backbone, as it's used in the Talmud, is the backbone or the chut ha-shedra, the spinal cord, which connects all the different parts of a Jewish body. And that's the prayer. So prayer, as time went on, became more of a rote expression. You know, we have an obligation to pray, whether it's a synagogue or at home. So you open up the sitter, you go through it. It's the same prayer every time. You get through it, you go, almost because you can get through it, and you're over and done with it. I did my prayers.
Okay, let's stop with it just one second. Let's just stop for one second. The prayer book, as far as Jewish liturgy, is about 2,400 years, meaning that from the time of Moses, for about 800 years, there was no formalized, people didn't go to the synagogue and pray. That wasn't our mode of communion with God. It wasn't only until the destruction of the first temple that they needed this substitute for the sacrifices. So if you could pick that up from there then, with the formulation of the prayer book as we have it.
Okay. The Siddur, although parts of it, the most important parts of it were established at the time just before the destruction of the first temple, and it was a way to preserve our religious involvement with God during a time when the temple would be destroyed, because the exile then was for 70 years, and the Jewish people were in Babylon, which was a strange language. They were not fluent in Hebrew, and they needed a language which could communicate with God. And so the formal prayers were instituted, the standardized prayers, by the men of the Great Assembly. Now, the reason they did that was twofold. Number one, if you want to compose your own prayer, you really have to be very, very careful in what you say to God, because there are times when you will say things that are entirely inappropriate, though you may not realize it or mean it in that way, but you can say such things. For example, we say about God in the prayer, "Hokel haGodol haGibor vaHanora," who is the great, powerful, mighty, and awesome God. Well, is that it? I mean, that's all you can say about God? Of course not. There's much more that you should and could say about God. And if you said it all day with praise, would you be completing all of his praise? Also not. However, our sages extracted these three critical words from the Torah, where Moses used these words. And because it was put into the Torah, we know that these are the primary words to use in that context of praise of God. So therefore, what they did was they took the appropriate phrases and put them together as a prayer of what we should be saying, so that we do it in the right, appropriate way. In addition, we made sure that we had the language, the Hebrew language, which has many nuanced meanings. So when you look at the Hebrew, it is a very fascinating distinction between English and Hebrew. English is a very rich language. We have over 1 million words in English. And every idea has a precise meaning. So you take a word, you could, for the same kind of thing, you could get five different words, and each one has a little bit of a variant meaning. Hebrew is different. Hebrew is a very narrow language, but every word can have different nuanced meanings depending on the context. So when you have Hebrew words, they have relationships and meanings which are beneath the surface, but you wouldn't see it on the surface. When we are saying the prayers, we're not just saying the immediate translation of those words. We are also saying the deeper sub-meanings and sub-context that you have with all of those words, which is why we are so insistent that prayer be in Hebrew, even though, technically speaking, halachically speaking, by Jewish law, you can pray in any language that you know. But you lose so much of it. It becomes just one-dimensional prayer as opposed to the full meanings that you can tease out of prayer. So that's why the men of the Great Assembly said we need to have a formula which accomplishes all of these goals in prayer. That was used during the exile, the 70-year exile, Babylonian exile. It was then basically discontinued during the time of the Second Temple, and then was reinstituted by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai when the Second Temple was destroyed and the Jews were once again in a state of exile.
Okay, thank you very much for that history. That's great. You mentioned before, just very quickly in passing, about this idea of we don't want our prayers to become rote. When I was in yeshiva, there was a rabbi who would say there are three types of people who finish their prayers at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There's the guy who wakes up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. There's the person who starts at 10 o'clock and sort of kind of understands what he's saying, but just kind of gets off on just saying the words. And he called that davening ba'arichus. And then there's the person who's davening ba'avoida, that the davening, the prayer, is changing that person. Let's focus on the last two. This idea of, he said, there's nothing wrong with davening ba'arichus, davening at length, and spending times with the words, even if you're not familiar with all the nuance thereof. So if you could say, what is the goal, therefore, when a Jew, or the supposed goal, when a Jew sits down to pray, what is he trying to accomplish?
First and foremost, an emotional experience. You're looking to communicate with God emotionally. That's what you have to do. So the you say the words, yeah. I mean, the words have a meaning, but is your emotion engaged in the words? So you look at people when they talk. For example, you have computer generated speech. It's become a little better today. They've put a tremendous amount of work in it. But generally, the way we've always heard computer-generated speech is...
The monotone, you know, yes.
I am whatever the robot's name was. What was that? It is words, but it's words devoid of any emotional content. When we speak as human beings, the majority of the communication that we are doing is not in the meaning of the word that we're saying, but rather in the way we're saying, the emotion that it's carrying, the tone. That's where we come across with communication. It's, I think they say today, 70% of communication is tone and emotion and not the actual words. So we're looking in the words of prayer to infuse them with genuine emotion. And the words really were built for that purpose. The words have and they carry an emotion with them if you let yourself go through the words, think the meaning, and I would say dissolve yourself into the words of the prayer. Then you feel the words coming out, and every word is an emotional word. And we need that because the whole purpose of the prayer is to establish that emotional connection with God. And that's done through what you would say would be the arichos of tefillah, the lengthy way of prayer. Going to the next step, what you said about avoda. The word avoda comes from eres avudim, which means the tanning of a hide. What happens when you tan a hide? You actually have to change the structure, the cellular structure of the material. Because a hide, if you just left it as is, would decompose, like meat or any kind of protein. What we do when we make a leather out of it, it doesn't decompose. The leather doesn't begin to ferment and rot. Why not? Because we have changed the cellular structure of the hide.
That's fascinating.
And we have made it into something else. We as human beings have a very materialistic structure, emotional structure. What we want to do when we engage in emotional experience of prayer is to literally change the internal structure of the heart, that we should be sensitive to matters of spirituality, sensitive to others, sensitive to things beyond just what I need and what satisfies my material needs.
Okay.
Are you in total agreement with you?
Oh, I'm total agreement with you. Yes. there's an interesting statement from the Baal Shem Tov. When we talk about now the Baal Shem Tov's influence in making prayer a pivotal part of a person's day, actually one of the major tenets in Hasidic philosophy is that prayer can be used as a tool for self-improvement, which I wanted you to talk about that. But the Baal Shem Tov, in one of the books which is attributed to the Baal Shem Tov, says that when a person says a word of prayer, when he's reading from the prayer book, he should say it with the same feeling as though he's saying goodbye forever to an old friend. So if you could comment on that and this idea of self-improvement, Rabbi Kaplan.
Well, no, the Baal Shem Tov is talking about the emotional feeling of the word. That's really what we're looking for, the genuine feeling in that word. So mm-hmm. It's not just a word spoken, it's a word felt. As the Baal Shem Tov once said, an interpretation of the words that God said to Noah, "Bei el ha-teva, go into the ark." The word teva has a dual meaning. It can mean an ark. It can also mean a word. Bei el ha-teva, the Baal Shem Tov said, means go into the word. Well, how do you go into a word? It means dissolve yourself in the word. Involve yourself in the word. So, you know, I don't like to take this analogy, but, it's something people can really hold on to. What is acting about?
Acting? You mean like drama?
Yeah, an actor. What is a good actor? When you say a good actor, what do you mean by that?
He becomes the part.
In other words, the words that he is saying are not mechanical words. He is the word. He's living the word at that moment. And that's what we mean when we say "Boya Lateva." It means that you're not just emitting a word, enunciating a word. You are experiencing a word. So you look at that. There are words of prayer, and you look. The words are taken from the song of praise at the sea. They sunk like lead in the mighty waters. Think about that for a moment. Think about that image. Think about the sinking of lead, the intensity of lead, the heaviness of lead, the inertness of lead, the churning of waters, and the action of them sinking in this process. When you say those words, solaluka ifeles b'mayim adirim, it's a different kind of word than you just saying the words right there.
Indeed.
Because you put yourself into it.
Indeed. Okay, now, let's talk, if you're just tuning in, our guest today is Rabbi Shmuel Kaplan. He is the chief shliach, the head rabbi of the state of Maryland, and is a major impetus of a new work on the Siddur, the prayer book. The Siddur illuminated by Chassidus. What was the impetus, Rabbi Kaplan, of putting this out? Let me just tell you just a little aside before you answer the question. 38 years ago, when I started my journey into Judaism, so I found a copy of sitting on a shelf in the yeshiva of something called Pirush Hamilos. And I knew at that time, as much as I knew, is the word Pirush Hamilos means the explanation of davening. So I said, oh, this is really cool. I want to know what davening is all about. So I took down this book written by the second Lubavitcher Rebbe. I had been religious for about, you're laughing already, you know where the story's going. I'd been religious for maybe 8-9 months. And I started to read and just like went, what is he talking about? And I said to somebody, I said, isn't there an English copy of this around? And he just looked at me and said, no. And there never will be. And here it is. I'm looking at the footnotes of most of your stuff. It's taken from this very said work, Pirush Hamilos, which is written by the Mittler Rebbe, the second Lubavitcher Rebbe. So what was the impetus behind this English edition of Pirush Hamilos? I'm looking at it. When I looked at it, I said, are they going to come out with a Hebrew edition of this, which would be like sort of like the backwards way of doing it? Go ahead, Rabbi Kaplan.
Well, we were trying to help you out 38 years ago. We just came 38 years late.
Indeed.
Look, the fact of the matter is that in the modern world, especially with the degree of distraction that we have and the inability that we have developed to focus because we are involved in so many things at any given time, we have lost the capacity to really daven, to pray in a serious way. And one of the reasons is that you've got to engage the mind in order to engage the heart. If your mind is floating, your heart is nowhere around either. So how do we get the mind engaged? There is a tremendous richness and depth in the prayer, which is brought out in Hasidic philosophy. Because Hasidic philosophy spends an enormous amount of time dealing with verses and words of prayer, though it's not in an organized, systematic way. It's thrown about through all the thousands of volumes of Hasidic literature. So in order to make it accessible, I think, to a broader community that has trouble reading the Hebrew, especially when it's esoteric and it's a lengthy treatises, they need it more in an encapsulated form where it's a brief kind of review which gives them the essence of the meaning of it, and it's something which they can study and begin to adapt into their prayer. That's what we were trying to accomplish. So I actually did this with one of my close friends, also a prominent supporter of ours, Yaakov Cohen, and we spent two years or so studying prayer this way. And because it's sort of a favorite of mine, I've collected these things over the course of many years. And I did that program with him, and I said, I was in Israel once, and I was talking about, the need to reinvigorate our prayers. And everybody agreed that it's a very important thing, but the fact that it's not accessible was a problem. So I met Eli Tauger there. He was sitting there, and I said, Eli, I know he does translating and this kind of material. So I said, are you interested in working on this? He said, I'd be delighted to work on it. Well, I came back, and I spoke to Yaakov Carr, and I said, Yaakov, would you be interested in sponsoring something like this? And he said, I guess I would. Yes, I'll do it. And
right,
so we had
the right
the,
place at the right time.
Yeah, and so we got to... It costed just about four times what we expected it to cost. That's another story.
That's always
but story. We had the two things together, and we began to put together a team to work on it. That did take us 3.5 years to put this together.
Okay, now let me ask you. The amount of works in volumes of the Hasidic library would Esther, in my house, I think it fills up about 2.5 ceiling-to-floor bookcases. I'm not exactly sure how many volumes that is. And I would say that something to do with the prayer book would occupy what percent of those 2.5 ceiling-to-floor bookcases, Rabbi Kaplan?
In my opinion?
Go ahead.
This would be a real guesstimate, but maybe 15%.
15%. Okay. So 15% of 2.5 bookcases would be three solid shelves of books.
This is
Hebrew is written. Hebrew is 1/3 the length of English. So obviously you didn't put everything into that it says in this Hasidic library into this one small
book.
No,
not nearly.
That would be an
impossibility.
How did you decide? Yeah, if you were to translate everything, the book would not be impossible to hold. How did you decide what went in, what didn't?
We looked at things that were really more closely interpretive of verses of verses of prayer. And things that were somewhat easier to grasp, because the more Kabbalistic and esoteric things we omitted. And even at that pace, we did not put in all the material that we had. We actually have it on the web. We have the Siddur, which we have much more material posted there, because there pages don't matter. You have as many pages as you want. But as a matter of fact, we have another thing. We have on the web. We have a click-through feature, a hot type, where if you want to see the original, you click on it, and it'll give you the original Hebrew excerpt. So you can actually have it in Hebrew as well.
Before I go further, if you don't mind, could you give us the website, please, for that, since we're talking website?
Sure. It's chabad.org/siddur.
Easy enough. Siddur is S-I-D-D-U-R. Go ahead. Can I continue, please?
Correct.
Kaplan.
Yeah. So we started with that. Now we distilled it. And chose the things that we thought were best suited. And even at that, we ended up with appendices in the back because it was too much to fit on a page. But we think we've done a pretty good job. If you spend time with it, there's no question it's a heavy kind of work. It's not a reading book. It's a study book. But if you do that, it will dramatically change your prayer.
Yeah, I actually have to tell you, I gave the book about 3 weeks ago to someone whom I learned with, who told me just recently, he said, Rabbi Finman, I hate you. And I said, why? And he said, well, I don't want to stop davening now because of this book. So very excellent. I recommend excellent. Can I ask you a really hard question, Rabbi Shmuel Kaplan?
Well, I can't stop you, can I?
Yeah, because this will be where I have to wrap up. I noticed in going through it, there are what's referred to as the 12 preliminary blessings, which we thank God for basically everything that God has given us. There is a blessing which is included in the Siddur, which you didn't speak about at all. You kind of just jumped right over it. And that's the blessing where we thank God for not making us a woman. Could you comment on what's that doing in the Siddur and why? What would be a commentary that you would put there?
Okay. I mean, we don't have any specifically, as to the commentary, we didn't find any on that particularly. But the idea behind it is the following. What are we trying to thank God for? That he gave us commandments to observe, because the difference between men and women from a halachic point of view is that there are commandments, time-bound commandments, which men are obligated to observe, and women are not obligated. They may, but they're not obligated to do it. So when we thank God to be a man. What does it mean to be a man? It means that you have the opportunity for the additional commandment. You can fulfill the man. People think that we thank God for a man, it means because I have a beard, or I thank man because I'm taller and I'm stronger, or I'm whatever else I may think of what a man is. That's got nothing to do with it. We're thanking God specifically for the opportunity to do the mitzvah. Now, here is the critical factor. You can't thank God for giving you opportunity until you have exercised the opportunity. In other words, if you actually do the mitzvah during the day, then it's a blessing for you. But what happens if you don't? Then what have you accomplished? So what we do is we say, we thank God that he has not made me a woman. Therefore, I am the category where I can now, on my own initiative, make myself into a man by observing those commandments. Because that's what makes me a man, nothing else.
Okay, so you're saying I'm thanking God for making me more subservient?
Why subservient?
Subservient meaning I have to do more now.
No, that's right. You're thanking God for opportunity. God, because I am not a woman, if I so choose now, I will do what makes me a man.
Gotcha. Okay, we're going to have to let it go. We're going to have to let it go at this. I want to thank you so much. Our guest has been Rabbi Shmuel Kaplan.
You're welcome. Have a good Shabbos.
Take care. And if you want to get a copy of this, it's available on Kahoot Online, K-E-H-O-T, online, all one word, .com. And it's also at Amazon, and it's definitely worth getting. And we have to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. We have, for your listening pleasure, this is Eighth Day. Just came out with a new release. The song is called Hulia, which means dance. So, if you're not driving a car, get up and dance.
אחד אני יודע This time do me one favor מצווה להיות בשמחה שניים אני יודע When you share it that's the flavor מצווה להיות בשמחה So waltz spins on divine Nothing you can do when it's dancing time Tanz, tanz, take, take Hule, hule, hule Tanz, tanz, take, take Heilige Hule Tanz, tanz, take, take Hule, hule, hule Tanz, tanz, take, take Heilige Hule This joy is blind to color Dark days like any other It's Vali Yubisimcha You can dance the heavens open Just enough to slip some hope in It's Vali Yubisimcha This show what spins on divine Nothing you can do when it's dancing time Tanz, tanz, take, take Hule, hule, hule Tanz, tanz, take, take Hai, kike
Of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman, here you are, listening to the Jewish Hour. We have next up, this is a bit of a parody, Tuvia Bolton, who is the head honcho at Orat Tamimim Yeshiva in Kfar Chabad, Israel, is no stranger to the Jewish Hour. We've had played his stuff before. He likes to do parody stuff or kitschy stuff. So this is called Man Always with a Smile.
A constant smile upon his face. I am a man
shows no sorrow, a constant smile upon my face. Always looking forward to tomorrow, and always grateful for today. He's always grateful for each day. Oh, six long years I had to wander with no possessions, friends, or home. Positive attitude and optimism were all that I could call my own. Were all that he could call his own. So I am happy as can be.
He is happy as can be.
When you bury me some deep valley, perhaps my mood will change a while. But as long as I'm on the ground, looking down on the flowers, you'll always see me with a smile. You'll always see me with a smile.
Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Herschel Fidman here, back again. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We have next up, this is called the Black Ox Orchestra. And we're going to play a piece called the Moscow Turkisher. This is a klezmer fusion band, I think, coming out of Williamsburg, Brooklyn, New York, if I am not mistaken. And the deal with fusion klezmer is that if you're fusing something to klezmer, you could just basically fuse anything you want. So this is a little bit hipster, a little bit klezmer, and nice to listen to. Let's just listen in. It's just for you. Thank you. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herschel Feynman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. This week is the portion of Tazria. It can be found in chapter 12 of the book of Leviticus, Leviticus and following, Vayikra Yud Beis, and discusses all the ins and outs of a malaise, which is a skin affliction, which was brought on primarily about doing things you shouldn't do. Like, for example, speaking gossip about somebody or overstepping your authority. There was actually 13 reasons or 13 individuals in the Bible who were smitten with this malaise because of various things that they weren't supposed to be doing. The most famous one is Miriam, Moses and Aaron's sister, who was speaking bad about Moses and got hit with this stuff for a week. This Purim, last week was Purim. That's so history. If you ask any rabbi, what's the most important holiday? They'll say, the next one on the calendar. The next one on the calendar is Passover. It comes up on April the 14th at night. And therefore, what we're doing now is we're preparing for Passover. So that would mean that part of our preparation would include the portion of Tazria, which most of the portion discusses how to find out, how to check, and how to be meticulous about if you have this skin malaise or not. People don't get it now. God stopped doing it, 2,500 years ago. The important thing is the checking, not of one's skin, which is on the outside, but checking on the inside. It's the same thing. We check for chametz. Jews during the week of Passover don't eat any leavened grain. We eat just matzah, which is not allowed. It's a grain product, but it's not allowed to leaven. By the way, if you need whole wheat, spelt, or gluten-free oat matzah, please contact me at rabbifinman.com because I do have a quantity right now, but supplies are limited and they will be going. So go to rabbifinman.com. And we can discuss how to get them to you. And I would say basically only if you're in the Detroit area, you can come by and pick it up. I'm not going to be shipping it at anytime soon. It's too much of a hassle, and you'll wind up with crumbs. But when we're checking for chametz, we look around our houses the night before, in every nook, cranny, and hole, for any crumb that doesn't belong there. The chametz that we're looking for is not really the crumbs on the outside in the floor. It's the chametz, the arrogance, the chutzpah that we have to get rid from ourselves. It's the same thing. A person who is a humble person, a person who makes themselves like matzah, is not going to have to worry about tzaras, the skin malaise. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We've got an awesome Hasidic story, one of the Lubavitcher Rebbe's favorite, as a matter of fact. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard from the Spex Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Best way, rabbifinman.com, www.rabbifinman.com. You'll find archived editions of the show. You'll find archived editions of the E-Parsha, the U-Parsha, the Hasidic U-Story, which are missives by yours truly conveyed in various media. You'll find ability to contact me right on the homepage, and of course, the very important donations page. You people came through. I'm really happy. I am so happy. We're in our 18th year. March is our membership month. Contribute now $36 to become a member of the Jewish Hour. And we'll send you a CD. Just let me know what kind of CD you want, you know, what kind of music it is that you like. You guys did it. We paid for February and March in 1 month. It was great. It was awesome. I was just like, I can't believe the outpouring of humanity. It's great. RabbiFinman.com. Go there. Don't like doing the internet credit card type donating? No problem. Send your donation of any amount to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. You'll be glad you did. I'll be glad you did. All the other people who listen to The Jewish Hour around the world will be glad you did. The Almighty will be glad you did, because we're 18 years on air, and we're going to continue by gum. The Baal Shem Tov, the founder of the Hasidic movement, would travel around before he was proclaimed him as a Hasidic leader, incognito. He was traveling through a certain area dressed as like a farmhand. And what he would do is he would go and he would ask people in these towns, these simple villagers, how are you today? That's what he would do. To elicit a response, something to the effect of like, Baruch Hashem, thank God, I'm doing okay. Because just this acknowledgement that God is part of your life is crucial in the makeup of the world. It makes the world more godly, believe it or not. And when someone asks you, how are you? You, listener dear, should also respond something to the effect of, thank God, or I'm blessed by God, or something to that effect. So he pulls into this one little synagogue. And in a little synagogue, there's a little room in the front. And there's a scholar sitting there. He's got books up to his eyeballs, this guy. He is just so immersed. This guy didn't talk to anybody from morning till night. He just sat and studied all day. The Baal Shem Tov walked in and said, hey, buddy, how you doing? You know, this guy took a look at him and went back to his. So he said, hey, how are you? The man just kind of like waved his hand to indicate, get out. The Baal Shem Tov at that moment said, how long are you going to deny the Almighty his livelihood? That caught the attention of this scholar. And the Baal Shem Tov explained, the Almighty has created the world and made himself hidden in the world. And it's our job to reveal godliness into the world. And the easiest, most cost-effective, translation is my own, way of doing that is just to thank the Almighty for what we have and make a public declaration. So yes, put it into your lexicon. How are you? Thank God. Thank God. It's been another week. I want to thank you for tuning in. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week, and we hope to see you back again next week. Take care. Tashiri oti me'achor.